Well, you may have noticed that all three of our readings today have something in common. Each of them is speaking of the angels. Notice that? From Moses in our responsive reading, right there in your bulletin, the 91st Psalm is a Psalm of Moses. Moses says that God will, quote, command his angels concerning you, specifically for you, to guard you on your way. And in our first reading, the author of Hebrews, and some might say that was Priscilla, right? A close friend of our own St. Paul. She describes the very nature of angels in chapter 1, pointing out that they are spirits made by God. They're made by God. Why? Why did he make them? In verse 14, she says, to serve those who will inherit salvation. That's us down here on earth. The angels were made to serve and look after us. And then in our gospel reading today, Jesus himself tells us that there are angels in heaven with direct access to the Father who are watching over his children here on earth. And his children, young or old, it's all of us. That's all of us. From the beginning to the end, you will find the Bible speaking of the angels. From the cherubim guarding the gates of the Garden of Eden in the book of Genesis, to at one place in time, 100 million angels gathered together in the book of Revelation. Angels are mentioned hundreds of times throughout the Bible. Now, here's a trivia question for you, Linda. Are they ever mentioned specifically by name? Yes. There you go. Gabriel and Michael. That's right. Michael is considered the leader of the angels, the archangel, and is mentioned in Daniel and Revelation. That's right. And Gabriel is known as God's messenger. He's always bringing good news, yeah, in the Bible, right? He's mentioned in the Gospels announcing the birth of Jesus and one other person. Anybody know? JTB, right? John the Baptist. That's what he did. That's what his job was in the Bible. Michael and Gabriel, that's correct. Now, Tim, you know, he doesn't always get things right. God bless him. He challenged me earlier. He said, wait a minute. What about that Roma Downey angel? What's her name? No, Tim, that was a TV show. That was not in the Bible. That was not in the Bible. Good show, though. Good show. Did you ever watch that show, Touched by an Angel? Yeah. It's amazing that how long ago. That was 30 years ago. I know. Can you believe it? Good show. We loved that show, right? We watched that. 9 seasons, I think it was on. Tim apparently loved it. Now, there's one episode stands out in my memory in particular. And Roma Downey is in a small town in this episode. And the small town is literally dying because of a severe drought. They had no rain. And these are good people. I didn't look it up. I just remember this. These were good people, kind of church-going, good people, hardworking, and they are praying for one thing, rain. They're praying for rain. And Roma Downey, she finally reveals herself to folks as being an angel. And by the way, if you're going to be visited by an angel, you want it to be Roma Downey, right? And she tells them this. She tells them this. She says to them, God has heard your prayers, and he has answered your prayers, and the answer is no. I can remember the look on her face from that show. And it didn't lack compassion. It wasn't that she was lacking compassion or empathy. She had both of those things, yes. But she was also resolute. She was stoic. I mean, this is life on earth, she was saying. This is life on earth. The rain is not coming. Your prayers will not be answered, not the way you hoped, not the way you want, not this time. Oftentimes, yes, right? More often than we realize, I think. And certainly more often than we probably appreciate and take the time to thank God for. Oftentimes our prayers are answered. It's true for me. The way we want them to. But sometimes the answer is no, isn't it? And as Jesus put it in our gospel reading today, woe comes to the world, to our world, to our lives. Woe, trouble, stumbles, you know, bad things. Jesus said it right there in verse 7. We may not have heard it, maybe because we sort of didn't want to, and we don't want to. But he said, bad things must come. And he said, must. Bad things must come. Sometimes the rain will not come when we need it. But then, sometimes, other times, it comes so much, so fast, that a Christian camp, in South Texas, a Christian camp for girls is flooded. How can you explain that? How can you explain that? Well, we can't. I can't. Not really. Yeah. But Jesus said, such things must come because this is the world. This is the natural world. You know, for the past 100 years, thousands of girls have gone to that camp, Mystic Camp, it's called, and have been enriched and lives have been changed. And but now, now an unthinkable tragedy has struck. Because this is the world. This is the world. But you say to me, wait a minute. Doesn't the Bible promise to always protect us? Doesn't our responsive reading today, printed right in our bulletin, say that nothing bad will happen to us? Not quite. No. Not quite. Not in reality. Jesus assured us that bad things would happen. But ultimately, the bad things, will not overtake us. Evil and the woe of the world will not overtake us. Even death has lost its sting. Why? Because of God's ultimate promise, the angels will guard you in all your ways. The Lord will rescue you and protect you, ultimately. He will be right there with you, even in times of trouble. It doesn't say there will be no trouble. It just says he'll be there with you. And surely, Jesus promised, he will remain with us until the very end of the ages.